Hi, I'm David Rothkopf, the CEO of the DSR Network and host of the Deep State Radio podcast. Here at DSR, we have always believed that in a world as complex, fast-moving, and full of risks as ours, we all need access to the best minds. That is why we have created the leading network for expert podcasts on the issues of the day you care about. We go in-depth on politics, the law, national security, foreign policy, intelligence, defense, climate, and new technologies with regular and special guests that are the leading voices in their fields. We also offer daily updates on global news, our DSR Daily, and on a key story of the day through our partnership with the New Republic. That is why over a million times a month, people like you choose to spend time with our hosts and guests. Membership is what supports this, and members get special benefits, including bonus content in virtually all of our podcasts. It's a big deal, and it's a good deal. Our monthly membership price is going to go up for the first time in our history on March 1st. So now is the time you can lock in our founder's rate of just $5 a month. To do so, go to the DSRnetwork.com and click on membership. It's that easy, but don't delay. Today's rates will only be available for a few more weeks. Join us. Support us. Go to the DSRnetwork.com right now. Thank you. Hello and welcome to the DSR Daily, the world in a nutshell with a little bit of color added. Your team here at DSR includes me, DJR, David Rothkopf, Chris Kottenwer. How are you doing, Chris?
I'm doing very well. Thank you.
Excellent. Riley Fessler. How are you today, Riley?
Doing extremely well.
Excellent. Chris, what's the number one story on your hit parade?
Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky reportedly fired his top general. I say reportedly because Zelensky's spokesperson denied the firing, but it seems at least imminent that this is something that's going to happen. He fired him over concerns about the feasibility of mobilizing 500,000 troops. And the difficulty with the logistics and also financing that, fueled by the United States' inability to pass any sort of spending package for Ukraine. I got to tell you, I am an optimistic person for the most part. But, you know, what's going on in the world with, you know, domestic Texas, Iran, which we'll report. And Ukraine, and of course, Israel and Gaza. I mean, what the fuck?
What the fuck is right, you know? And that's our new podcast, What the Fuck? In fact, you know, this can be our daily, you know, this is What the Fuck from Deep State Radio. Because you're absolutely right, and I'm an optimistic person, and I can tell you, I think Joe Biden is going to beat Donald Trump. I think that there will eventually be an end to this fighting in the Middle East, just like there is the end to all fighting in the Middle East for a while. I think Ukraine has a chance of really, you know, ramping up and defeating Russia if they get the right kind of support, et cetera. I don't think Putin will lose his election in March. I think it's pretty sure thing that he'll win. But having said all of that, I could also see a scenario, and it's a perfectly legitimate scenario, where the Biden administration, after a great track record in foreign policy, has 2024 marked by continuing unrest in the Middle East, possibly a spreading war, having embraced an ally that has embraced the most brutal tactics possible, after supporting Ukraine for a couple of years, we'll have the Congress pull the plug and Ukraine will start to lose. Those things will have a knock-on effect on American politics. Not that foreign policy always is a big factor, but particularly in the case of the Middle East, it's got a number of groups really agitated. and that, you know, for a variety of reasons, the fall election will be close and perhaps even won by a guy who is a convicted criminal at the time. That's, you know, I mean, what I'm describing is horrific. But as you say, it's not impossible. It's not even unlikely. It's, you know, it's kind of up there in the 50-50 range. We can call this what the fuck radio, or we can call this I'm hiding under my bed radio, but it's a little bit unnerving. What you got, Riley?
Before we go to Riley, yeah. I just want to say, one, thank you so much for making me feel better.
Better. No problem.
I will say, at least
they call
it's not
human Xanax.
We're at least aware that this guy can actually win the presidency, and hopefully that's an advantage that we can take advantage of. But man, thanks for making me feel better.
Yeah, well, read Ed Luce's column in today's Financial Times. He'll be with us on our podcast later, but his column is, hey, even if Trump loses, things are still going to be bad in American politics. So it's like, well, I got a hammer here, and then I've got a big stick. Which should I hit myself over the head with first? Riley?
Bad news for everyone's favorite libertarian anarcho-capitalist.
Oh, wait. This is not as bad.
Javier Milei. Yeah. But good news for Argentinian labor, as a Argentinian court has overturned labor regulations that were proposed by Milei, which would have simplified the process of firing workers. So he announced in December this decree that would make several changes, including increasing job probation from 3 to 8 months, reducing severance compensation, and allowing the dismissal of workers who take part in blockades during protests. And the court declared that these are unconstitutional and that the government had exceeded its authority and that any of these measures would require congressional approval. So they can appeal this to the Supreme Court, but his administration has not yet indicated if they're planning to do so. So this is obviously a huge win for the Argentinian labor movement who presented this legal challenge. Specifically, it was the General Labor Confederation. So again, this is kind of what we referenced before, where Milei, obviously his policies are horrible, but he faces a lot of stiff opposition in Congress, and apparently in the courts are not on board with this either. So we'll see.
Well, you know, we've been skeptical here of Edna St. Vincent Milei for some time. That's just my nickname for him after the American poet. But the thing that I'm even more skeptical of, and I saw an article about it that was a little bit glowing in some right-wing journal yesterday, is the bullshit of libertarianism. You know, the whole idea of libertarianism sounds great. Well, let's have less government. We'll have more freedom. But that's not what it means. It means that you will have less government power to counter the power that exists elsewhere in society. So in the, you know, fantasy of Edna St. Vincent Millay, the Argentine president, not the American poet, and I know it only appeals to my sense of humor, but having said that, in his fantasy, the idea is, let's get away, you know, get rid of government, get rid of regulations, let's, you know, get rid of all these burdensome things that help the poor, and it's just that we'll have a free-for-all, society will be better. Except what that means is that the richest and most powerful people in that society, and Argentina has its own oligarchy like anywhere else, they will then be able to act unchecked. It is not about getting rid of the apparatus of power. It's about shifting the apparatus of power from the people to the few. That's what libertarianism is all about. It is complete bullshit. Chris?
Iran has warned that they will decisively respond to any U.S. attack following President Biden's accusations linking Tehran to a drone attack that killed 3 U.S. soldiers and injured 40. Obviously, this situation is escalating as others are in the world. It's inevitable. The U.S. is going to respond. My question to you, David, is what does decisive look like in the region from Iran.
The Iranian government, like our government, wants to appear strong. The Iranian government, like our government, does not want to have an all-out war. The Iranian government wants to make it look like if there is no all-out war, it was their strength that kept us from wanting to do it. It is the same stance that our government wants to have. Here's the problem. When the Iranians, you know, give drones to, you know, militia groups, they don't know that the militia group is going to be able to have the drone fly into a U.S. base behind another drone, manage to get through the defenses that the U.S. base has, and actually hit a bunker in which a bunch of U.S. soldiers are sleeping, thus killing U.S. soldiers, thus making an escalated U.S. reaction absolutely inevitable. You know, that's just a red line. If you kill U.S. soldiers, something bad's going to happen. But, you know, Iran or the Iran Revolutionary Guard or whoever was backing this group, they didn't know that it was going to turn out. And that's the problem. The situation is so heightened right now that if a Houthi missile accidentally gets through U.S. naval defenses, and we're able to shoot a lot of them down, you know, and hits a ship and kills a bunch of people, escalation. The biggest risk that we have in the Middle East right now is accidental escalation, not planned escalation. Riley?
Well, numerous social media CEOs will face questions on child safety in a Senate hearing today, including the CEOs of X, Meta, TikTok, Snap, and Discord.
So I'm gathering it's not child safety with, like, you know, toys that, you know.
No. So it's about online child sexual exploitation. So it is a serious issue that has kind of come to the surface in recent months. But my fear of this is, given how the last congressional Senate hearing with the TikTok CEO was an unmitigated disaster. It was incredibly embarrassing, and so many of the Congress people clearly did not understand kind of some of the basics of how this worked. So I worry that kind of that is going to happen again and undermine what is actually a very serious issue that does need to be addressed. So I hope they come better prepared this time. I guess we'll see, but I'm not sure.
Well, they won't, because there aren't that many people in the Congress that actually understand this stuff. And of course, the issue of child exploitation, while a big issue, having to do with, you know, the internet, or having to do with AI. And by the way, I doubt any of the Republicans on these committees will be condemning, you know, the efforts to use AI to come up with doctored deep fake porn of Taylor Swift. But, you know, the issues are much bigger. So, you know, this is one the Congress is not equipped to address it properly. Give them credit for doing something, but they're likely to just come up with laws that look like old laws. But the other threats that are associated with these technologies are not being addressed. Ranging from the concentration of power among a few people, which ought to be addressed through antitrust legislation, threats associated with not regulating websites like Twitter or you know, Meta or Google, as if they were information companies playing by the same rules, so that they can have deep biases in them, of them not having liability for what is posted on them, which is a problem, and on with them. And then, you know, let's get into the world of AI, and there's a whole other set of issues. So, you know, this is performative. As you say, the last couple of performances haven't gone so well for the Congress, and I think we should go into this one with low expectations. Chris?
Have you guys been following the meteoric rise of the Stanley Tumblr?
Oh, yeah, the Stanley Tumblr. Yeah, so Saturday Night Live did a whole skit on Stanley Tumblrs this weekend. in which a number of people got together and they had progressively larger Stanley tumblers. And then one of them said, I can taste the lead, and got into some of the issues that you may be referring to here.
Exactly. So some enterprising social media influencers apparently went home and tested the cups, the Stanley cups, not to be confused with the Stanley cup, Lord Stanley's cup, and found
which
lead.
Is, for those of you who don't follow sports ball or sports hockey or, puck,
yes.
A hockey trophy. Yeah.
Yes. Hockey, the hockey trophy. And while experts have said at least the amounts of lead that are in the cups are seemingly safe and follow U.S. guidelines, nonetheless, has still caused some concerns. My fascination with the story, though, is on the marketing side, where these cups, it's a water bottle, for crying out loud, have just exploded. And there was a piece in the New Yorker that I read where, they talked about how Stanley went viral, and the CMO of Crocs, who resurrected those shoes, probably helped in large part by the pandemic and people walking around their homes in Crocs. And full disclosure,
do you walk your home in Crocs?
Not today, but I do have Crocs.
You do, Riley? Do you have Crocs?
I do not have Crocs. No,
good for you.
I'll tell you the most useful, because when I officiate swim meets, I have to wear like a uniform. And one of the requirements is white shoes, but you get soaked on deck. So I wear Crocs because the water goes into the holes, and when I'm done, I wipe my feet and put my socks back on, and they're fine. But yeah, in any case, he came.
So much detail for people.
I know. There you go.
Yeah. I hope you're.
But anyway, go read the New Yorker's piece. It's an interesting story, especially if your job is marketing on how they may it. And one last point, you'll recall when we were doing sort of the lighter news stories, which of course this is today, that a car had caught on fire and the only thing that survived was their Stanley mug, cup, tumbler, whatever, however you like.
Is this the Stanley company that sells like camping gear and stuff like that? Is it the same company?
I think so. Tools,
Stanley tools, stuff like that. That's kind of weird. It's just unfathomable to me, you know, what that is about. And having said that, you know what we've done in our household? And I'm going to keep this brief, but we've given up on ordering bottled drinks altogether. We've moved to having a soda stream and just produce, taking water, putting some bubbles in it, and walk around the house all day with that. So we just drink water now. We don't drink all this other stuff. And it saves just tons of trips to the garbage. And that probably has a positive environmental benefit. And drinking water is really good for you. I don't know that that's what fills up all these Stanley cups, water. But, presumably people are pouring their lattes into it.
A quick search, by the way, says that's this not the Stanley Tool Company. It's just
so it's different. There's one Stanley that's the Stanley Cup. There's another Stanley that's the Stanley Tool Company. Then there's another Stanley that makes these beverage holders, and that has nothing to do with Stanley and Livingston and English exploration in Africa in the 19th century.
It doesn't have anything to do with Flat Stanley either.
Flat Stanley or Stan Laurel and Oliver Hardy. Well, I'm glad we've resolved that. Now Riley is probably going to drag us kicking and streaming back into the real world.
Not a bad news story for my last one. The French government has taken a big step to strengthen abortion rights. And this was a move that kind of started after the U.S. rolled back abortion rights here. Poland similarly rolled back abortion rights. And the effort is to amend Article 34 of their constitution to ensure women's freedom to have an abortion. And there are two ways to do this. One is if they can get a 3/5 vote in Congress, and that is the tactic that President Macron is taking, and it overcame the first hurdle in the lower house, overwhelmingly 493-30 passed this bill, which obviously was way more than was necessary. And I found it interesting that none of the parties in France really object to a woman's right to have an abortion. The only objections are coming from some conservatives in the majority in the Senate who are worried about the language of the bill. But none of it is based on objection to the idea itself, which is that women should have the right to an abortion, which I thought was fascinating and is obviously incredibly different from U.S. politics.
Well, you know, one of the things that is generally not followed by Americans is, or understood fully by Americans, is that the left in Europe is far to the left of the U.S. left. The right in Europe often aligns with the U.S. left. And the right in the United States is typically far to the right. Also, we have in our society, unlike most, not all, but most others, a much heavier religious component to politics, including religious evangelicals. And in a lot of these other countries, they are well past all of that. We once thought of ourselves as kind of the shining, you know, beacon on the hill, the shining city on the hill, as Ronald Reagan referred to it. I think that, you know, we can offer up a new message to the world, which I would call DDWWD, which is don't do what we do. Like, if we've got a policy being put into place, do the opposite. It could be better, because the MAGA movement has really perverted so much of what is happening here in the United States. By the way, I noticed that a bill is making its way through the Congress that would cut taxes for the rich and for companies. It seems to be the only thing they can do. They can't pass a budget. They can't provide aid, critical national security aid. They can't do anything except, you know, tax cuts and performative idiocy like the Mayorkas, quote, impeachment, which is based on absolutely nothing. And today I saw somebody note that one of the proofs that it is based on nothing is that one of the arguments against Mayorkas put forth by the Republicans says that Agency X has done Y and Z, and it's not an agency he actually even controls. You know, they're just throwing this stuff together. So we're in a sad state of affairs here in U.S. politics. Later today, we're going to talk about another country that's got real problems in its politics. India, the world's largest democracy, with noted Indian journalist Rana Ayub, and our own very well-known India expert who's written one of the great books on India, Ed Luce. So that's our mothership podcast for today, the main Deep State Radio. And we encourage you to listen to that and everything else, including our newest podcast done in conjunction with The New Republic with Greg Sargent, where it's actually turning into, you know, it's called The Daily Blast, but it's actually, you know, good journalism. He's going out, he's talking to people that you need to hear from. We think it's something you should add to your daily schedule. Try it and then come back here tomorrow for more of this kind of highfalutin, intellectually uplifting conversation that we have here at the DSR Daily. Until then, bye-bye.